Welcome to episode 3 of CreateCast, the show about people who make good. I'm your host, Chase Kay. Today we're talking with Adam Skloot, the artistic director of Ballet West in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, I grew up with a ballet dancer for a mother, but I am not a dancer myself, so I consider myself a great appreciator of ballet, but definitely not an aficionado. Luckily, Adam was kind enough to take some time out of his incredibly busy schedule to sit down and talk to me about his own experience as a dancer. He actually danced for the Joffrey Ballet when he was younger, before moving out to Salt Lake to take over his administrative duties here. But it was a really incredible conversation and sort of illuminating because it's a world that I think not many people see. So, as always, a really fun conversation and a huge thanks to Adam for coming on the show. Even if you aren't familiar with ballet, you might be familiar with Ballet West. They're a world-renowned ballet company, and they were even the feature of the TV show Breaking Point a few years ago. As many of you know, the CreateCast home base is in Los Angeles, but this interview is actually recorded in Salt Lake City, and I am now recording this intro while in Florida, so the podcast has become a little bit more national than expected. I'm even doing a few interviews while I'm down here. To make sure that you get those episodes, as well as all of our other guests, please remember to rate, comment, and subscribe. It really does help us out. This podcast is a labor of love, and I can't do it without your support. So, without further ado, here's Adam Skloot, Artistic Director for Ballet West in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hey everybody, we're here with Adam Skloot. He's the Artistic Director for Ballet West here in Salt Lake City, Utah, and he is a former dancer, and he also worked with the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago. Adam, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So let's start at the beginning. Where did dance find its way into your life, and ballet specifically?
Where did ballet find its way into my life? Actually, it was my parents. You know, my parents were professors at the University of California, Berkeley, and there was a lot of dance at UC Berkeley and a lot of dance in San Francisco. So I grew up seeing ballet since the age of 5 in Berkeley, California, and over in San Francisco.
So, I mean, when you were growing up, did you maybe see any specific dancers or any specific pieces that you really connected with and said, wow, this is something that I'm really fascinated with? And were your parents dancers, or was it just something that you were around?
No, my parents were not dancers, but my parents are big arts aficionados. So along with ballet and dance, I also went to opera all the time and concerts. You know, I started playing the piano when I was a very young kid. You know, I was told I was taken to see the great Margot Fonteyn and Rudolf Nureyev at the San Francisco Opera House in the late 1960s. I don't remember any of that. But what I do remember was my parents taking me to see the Joffrey Ballet in Berkeley, California in the early 1970s. And I thought that that was just the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I thought it was amazing, and I loved it, and it was great, and I didn't have a thing to do with dance for a good 10 years after that. I just, you know, it had always been a part of my life growing up with the San Francisco Ballet under the direction of Lou Christensen, our Ballet West founder, Willem Christensen's brother. So, you know, I was...
Small world.
I was, yeah, very small world. And just, you know, getting to experience ballet. But, you know, I was playing piano, and I was singing, and I was painting, and I was lamely doing some sports, you know. But it was all just part of my upbringing. And while nothing stuck out to me, I loved it all. And I remember my parents telling me that, you know, I'd come home from basketball and then go start dancing around the living room to ballet music. So,
that's,
you know,
awesome. So I guess, you know, when you started dancing, was it something that you expected to do professionally, or was it sort of, oh, I want to try this, and, you know, it sort of just grew into your life?
Okay, so my professional dance trajectory was crazy. I didn't start dancing until I was 17 years old. I was doing musical theater in high school, and I had a girlfriend who was a ballerina, and she told me, oh, you should come and join me in some ballet classes. Fell in love with it. It was incredible. It was everything I wanted. All of a sudden, there was the art and the athleticism and the music that I loved but was never very good at until I put it all together for dance. By 17 and a half, so after 6 months of formal ballet training, I told my parents that I was going to be a professional dancer. And my parents said, no, you're not. Now, like I just said that I'd been going to, ballet since I was a kid. They'd been taking me to see dance since I was at least 5 years old. So it wasn't like they had a problem with ballet or anything, mm-hmm. or a guy dancing ballet. They were all for that. But they just thought it was the most ridiculous thing they'd ever heard that after 6 months of training at the age of 17 and a half, I was going to become a professional dancer. But I'm a very headstrong individual, and I am also someone who... deals very well with a challenge. So it was exactly what I needed. I graduated from high school early. I moved to New York City. And by the age of 19, I was a professional dancer.
That's incredible. And tell me a little bit, obviously, you know, you work as artistic director now, but did you ever expect to sort of move into the other side, or did you just sort of, or was that not in your mind at the moment?
Oh, no. You know, from the time I started dancing, I would scour over dance programs, dance magazines, dance things, and always say, you know, wow, well, you know, look at how this is done. Look at how that is done. I was fascinated with the way that different companies ran or structured themselves. I would look at all of this. I mean, we of course, didn't have the web at that point, so it was really through books and magazines that I was reading this and watching companies and collecting programs and all of this stuff. But I knew I wanted to be a director as soon as I started dancing.
That's incredible. And you know, you mentioned, so you're sort of looking at how different companies operate. And obviously, I was reading something and it sort of mentioned that you were sort of on track to become artistic director for the Joffrey Ballet, and that sort of the coming to Ballet West was maybe not so expected. What drew you to Ballet West? And then also, maybe how do the two companies operate differently or similarly?
Okay, so that's a multifaceted question. Okay, the first thing is that I will always be the first to admit that my reasons for applying for the artistic directorship of Ballet West were very callous. Mm-hmm. I admit that completely. I was indeed on track to become the artistic director of the Joffrey Ballet in Chicago. We had moved from New York to Chicago. I had moved from a dancer and slowly worked my way up to associate director when the co-founder, Gerald Arpino, was moving to the position of artistic director emeritus. The board told me that I would be one of the primary candidates for the artistic directorship. At the very same time, it was really a strange kind of, you know, kismet thing that happened. And I believe it was fall of 2006. I received a one-line email saying, would you consider presenting your resume for artistic directorship for Ballet West in Salt Lake City, Utah? And like I said, my reasoning, I thought, oh, well, I'm never going to leave the Joffrey Ballet. It's been my home for 23 years at that point. And but you know what? I've never been anywhere else. So I think it's really important for me to at least know what my market value is. And so I thought, okay, I'll submit my resume. Well, I submitted my resume. And the next thing I knew, I was being asked to interview. So I thought, okay, I'll interview. And then I was asked to do another interview. And then Ballet West asked me to fly in and spend several days working with the dancers, teaching class, coaching the dancers, meeting with the board, meeting with the staff, all of these things. And I shuffled my feet for a while. I wasn't sure I wanted to do this. Oh, this is getting too much for me. It's great I'm being interested in. But finally I said, okay, you know what? I need to do this. And I did. I got to Salt Lake City, and I began the process, and I fell in love with Salt Lake City. I fell in love with Ballet West and the Ballet West dancers. I realized that this could potentially be a great place for me, and that I could potentially do good work for them, and it was like an immediate change. And I thought, wow, this is actually a really good thing. I would like to be here, and I would like to do everything I can to help this company where it needed help, learn from this company where I could learn from, because I'm a perpetual student, so there was so much history here and that I could learn, and just I loved the city and the community. So it was really interesting how that all developed. There was a part B of your question that I can't remember.
Though. No, I think you pretty well covered it. And then I was also curious, you know, just for maybe the uninitiated, talk to me a little bit about what an artistic director generally does. And then also, obviously, you've had a pretty big impact here in the years that you've been here. But talk to me a little bit about what you have specifically tried to do at Ballet West.
Okay, well, an artistic director. What does an artistic director do? Basically, pretty much all of us, our job is to be the arbiters of taste and style for the company, so to speak. You know, we are an artistic organization, so how we present ourselves, who we are, and what we do. My job is to maintain the roster of dancers. So that is hiring new dancers for the company, making sure that the dancers are up to par, overseeing how they are trained, and developing and producing the repertoire. So that means for me, for a lot of artistic directors, it means just choosing ballets, but it can also mean presenting works, such as what I do with the full-length classics like Swan Lake, Sleeping Beauty, Giselle, where I have sort of produced my own versions in collaboration with my team. And then a number of people, choreographers. I am not a choreographer, so I feel better bringing in great choreographers to create works on Ballet West. But so those things are in general. It's overseeing the orchestra. It's overseeing the crew. It's overseeing the school, because everyone on the school and the whole faculty, and we have a ballet school that trains kids from the ground up all the way to professional level. They are all they all report to me. So how we do that's another big part of it. So it's a pretty big job overall what an artistic director does.
Yeah, and then the part B was sort of what specifically have you been trying to bring to Ballet West, maybe that you didn't see here before, or what have you been trying to improve on?
Certainly for me, when I first arrived, and maybe it's my own heritage at the Joffrey Ballet, new works and new creations were so important. And I had not seen a lot of that when I arrived, and I looked at the history of the company when I had been, prior to me being there, and it didn't seem like the company had done very much new work in 9 years before I arrived. And I felt like that was a really important thing to turn around, because it is so important for dancers to have works created on them, and it is so important for the art form for us to keep moving forward, to constantly be producing new work. You know, some of the greatest companies in the world are constantly producing new work. So that was a big part of it. I think it was also important for me to build our national and international stature. That was something here I felt like I was taking on the artistic directorship of a great company with a great history, and I really wanted to be able to let the world know how great Ballet West was. So it was very important for me to increase touring, to increase visibility, to increase the overall knowledge and perception of Ballet West. And so those were two things that I worked really hard to build. Also, we had a great school, but I wanted that school to become even better known and to keep developing it so it could become one of America's really major destination schools, where kids from across the country and across the world might want to come to study and train to become professional dancers, hopefully with Ballet West, but potentially anywhere in the world.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier sort of part of your job being maintaining the artist repertoire and sorry, just the artist sort of roster. As a dancer, tell me what do you look for in a dancer that you want to be a part of Ballet West?
You know, the biggest thing that I look for ultimately is there's a special internal something. You can feel it, you can see it when someone is dancing. There's a magic. You know what? I will not deny, that we are a ballet company in the 21st century, so there are certain technical expectations. You know, ballet, similar to sports in that way, you know, moves forward every year, and so there are the expectations of what people can do. how much they can turn, how high they can lift their leg, how big they can jump, all of these things. So I will not deny that those things are important to me, but they're secondary to a special kind of magic. I like a look. I like a sort of longer, elongated look in dancers. That's just a personal aesthetic. Even our shorter dancers, I think, have a sense of length in their movement and in the way that they move their limbs and in their proportions. I like to say that Ballet West is as tall and dramatic as the Rocky Mountain region that we represent. So there are a number of different things, but really deep down inside, there's a degree of artistry that is important and that overrides anything.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's something sort of maybe intangible, just, you know it when you see it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are artists who surpass my expectations all the time, and that's so exciting. You know, I can say, oh, I have a beautiful, attractive dancer here with, beautiful long limbs who can do every trick in the book, and that person just is never going to be interesting. Mm. And then another person who may not have half of the qualities, just the superficial qualities that we do look for in ballet, who just have a special magic, and that person might attract me, and that's what's amazing. So it's really hard sometimes to put my finger directly on what I look for.
You mentioned something really interesting just sort of about the evolution of ballet, and I think that probably more so than a lot of dance mediums, there's sort of this sense of tradition in ballet, and how do you sort of adapt, year to year? What are you trying to do, maybe, that's saying, like, okay, how can we move forward? How can we expand on what we've done before?
Well, I think it's exactly that. It's always asking,
just asking the right questions.
Well, hopefully asking the right questions.
Yeah.
It's how do we adapt? How do we look? I mean, you're looking for trends in the ballet world, what audiences seem to be flocking to, what people like, and then work with that. But also there's, just like it's intangible choosing a dancer, sometimes it's intangible choosing what's right for a company artistically. So certainly we're always looking at trends. Certainly we're always looking at what people are liking. Certainly we're always trying to appeal to the broadest audiences possible. But deep down inside also, there's got to be something that we, as artistic directors, know and understand are meaningful, are important. And that's what I think any artist can do. They can only work from their own convictions.
I guess just a couple of final questions. So that makes me wonder what right now is exciting you, and what sort of moving into the future is exciting you about Ballet West, and what are some of the things that you're seeing in the ballet world as far as trends, interesting, new things?
Oh, gosh, that's a horrible question. I'm not sure I can answer it properly. But the truth of the matter is certainly about Ballet West. I mean, what's exciting me right now is that I feel like we have more recognition than we've had in many, many, many years, which is very exciting. I feel like we're out there touring a lot. I feel like audiences, our local audiences, are flocking to us. Certainly if our ticket sales are any gauge, are flocking to us more than they have in the past. I want to keep on building on that. I feel like our school is growing, and that's really exciting because that's the future of dance and the future of us. So there are so many things. I feel like we've taken chances with all kinds of forward-thinking ideas. I mean, I think of social media. I think of the media in general. I mean, my gosh, we spent time in a reality television show, for gosh sakes. That may or may not have been the best of ideas, but ultimately I do not apologize for it because it was very, very good for the company. And trends in the dance world, I think that one of the things that the big challenge is, where do you work with the trends and where do you buck the trends? I think the dance world right now is being looked at more and more. And, I think I mentioned that in my talk about dancers and what I look for in dancers. I think there's a sort of athleticism that we look for in trying to quantify dance in a way that's just really not there. An art form can't be quantified. But on the other hand, it's trying to find the balance of working with that, because it is, in many ways, the most athletic of the art forms. So there is a degree of that, you know. I would be hypocritical to say that I don't even consider that when I'm working with or training my own dancers, you know. But on the other hand, it's about working with that and at the same time trying to bring out that artistry and keep the purity and what is so special about the art form alive. Brilliant. So, I mean, I know that that's a wide-ranging question with not a lot of specifics, but it's a hard question that you asked when I really think about it.
No, it makes a lot of sense. So, obviously, this has been a really good conversation. Now, if people want to find out more about Ballet West, where's a good place for them to go?
Well, the perfect place to go is to our website, which is balletwest.org. So they can go www.ballettwest.org, and that will tell you what we have coming next year, talk about our dancers, our repertoire on tour if you're not in the country, in the state, and you know, all that stuff.
Awesome. Well, I know that I'm excited to see what's coming, and I'm sure other people are too. Well, thanks again.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Again, a huge thanks to Adam for taking time out of his busy schedule to chat with us. I'm going to put a link to the Ballet West website in the description of this episode, so all you have to do is look there to find out more. Also, you can head to our website, createcastpod.com, for more exclusive content and behind-the-scenes photos. As always, please rate, comment, and subscribe to show us some love. Once again, this is CreateCast, and I'm your host, Chase Kay. And now, a little word from Adam himself.
Hi, this is Adam Skloot, reminding you to make good.